Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, joined today by John Carman, who has a vast experience in many different areas, including the Secret Service. I'm here to mourn the death of the United States. It's happening on two different levels, which I'm going to explain. I begin with a southern border bracing for a migrant search at Title 42, set to expire tomorrow. Those who watch the video version will see I'm showing a border wall Trump constructed where he brought it down to a trickle, but which Biden has completely reversed out of an effort to destroy America. I have no doubt this is all purposeful. This is all catastrophic. This is something that we may never recover from. The United States is bracing for the expiration of pandemic-era border restrictions. Officials fearing it'll spur a surge of immigrants, exacerbate an already challenging humanitarian crisis. No matter how much we are prepared, I don't think we're going to be prepared enough, said the John Martin, deputy director of the Opportunity Center for the Homeless in El Paso. I want to emphasize more so than anything else, this is a national issue, Martin said. We in El Paso, along with many other communities along the southern border, just happen to be at the front doorstep. While first implemented under the Trump administration in response to the pandemic, Title 42 has been kept in place by the courts and used by the Biden administration to deal with migrants at the border. That will change Thursday. When the public health emergency in Title 42, along with it, is set to lapse amidst unprecedented mass migration in the Western Hemisphere. This is simply staggering stuff, and I've just got to invite John's thoughts about it before we turn to the second issue on the agenda here, the destruction of the United States after I offer a reprieve by looking at what happened in Russia yesterday when they celebrated the Patriotic War, the 78th anniversary of the end of World War II, where the Soviets played a massive role. John, this mass migration, I mean, in my opinion, they're aiming at 100 million. I believe it's going to be the death of America. It's all deliberate. It's all intentional. It's realizing George Soros' dream of destroying America in his lifetime. Your thoughts?
Yeah, your beginning and dissertation is very accurate and correct, especially the part about we're celebrating the death of America. I was just monitoring another Border Patrol agent on another venue, and I've got other contacts, as you know, because I did work at the largest land border port at San Ysidro in San Diego for 15 years, and Calexico and a few other places. I'm getting contacts even now from Middle Eastern type people who are working with our government in some capacity. I still have to screen them, but it's obvious to me over the years this is what they're doing, no different than late 80s, early 90s when they had the bonsai runs at the border. Literally hundreds to a thousand people would run through the border northbound into southbound traffic just to the edge of the border entry point and exit point, and Border Patrol would chase them. I've chased a few myself. I would capture them, of course, turn them over to immigration. They get processed. But as this other Border Patrol agent is currently explaining, his sources are also Border Patrol and current government employees. For years, since the Biden administration, have been ordered to allow these people to come in, which is against their constitutional oath. That is an act of high treason by the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden, for the record, 18 U.S.C. 2381, to allow these people to come in like that without being checked, without being vetted, without being checked medically for tuberculosis, TB, and other communicable diseases, which will affect the population of the United States. And at the southern border is the worst. Of course, they get them from other areas, including the northern border. But they've pulled all their people. That's coming from an actual Border Patrol agent. It said, yeah, they pulled all their people in one area, which is like 126 miles east to west at the southern border. There's nobody there covering that location. That's intentional. That's high treason by the administration. People like Mayorkas, Vice President Harris, and Mayorkas can't tell the truth on anything. He's such a liar. And people are afraid to call him a liar. If he's a liar, he can go to court and he can go to prison for a long time for lying, and especially conducting lies is another charge in the 18 U.S.C. criminal code, 18 U.S.C. 1001. You know, if you came through the border and lied about your citizenship, I can arrest you. It's real simple, you know, but they don't want everybody to know about these things. So, yeah, it's outrageous, Jim. It's unbelievable. So tomorrow it cuts off, and yet there, I think McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, was at the White House. Chuck Schumer's over there. They're pinching the American people to think, oh, you're not going to get your Social Security. You're not going to get your government retirement checks because of the deficit and the high ceiling of the debit to the country. So they're going to alter it and raise the limits and so forth so they can keep paying us. What about the trillions of dollars that went to the Ukraine? That's trillions of dollars that they're lying about, and yet they're cutting back on people in the United States. I, for one, do not get a Social Security payment, and I'm 70 years old.
Says I'm free.
And they also lie about it, saying I only have 15 credits to collect Social Security when I have over 20-plus years service, mostly federal law enforcement. So there you go. That's an example of what they're doing. And I've got documents right here. I got a letter just the other day that confirmed that they owe me for the past 10 years since 2013. I'm entitled to my payments. The congressman is wasting his time. I don't know what the congressman's doing. See? It's crazy.
Well, it's all embarrassing. Meanwhile, we have a real patriot, a real national leader in Russia. Check this out.
Moscow, where the Kremlin has kicked off celebrations for Victory Day, a national holiday marking the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. But those celebrations were overshadowed by Russia's own war on Ukraine. Whilst Moscow holds its annual parade to showcase Russia's military might, several regions across the country scaled back events amid security concerns and a lack of military equipment. And In just the last hour, we heard from President Vladimir Putin. He said he wants a peaceful future and claimed the true war is being waged against his country.
Even as it marks Victory Day, or perhaps especially, Russia has not stopped its attacks on Ukraine. The Ukrainian Air Force says it...
I don't want to emphasize the war in Ukraine, which is going all Russia's way, but rather the speech by Vladimir Putin in Red Square, which in my opinion was very significant, represent values that more in accord with American than anything we're getting from the Democrats today. Together with the head of the Russian state, the prime ministers and presidents of various republics were on the podium together with the head of the Russian state. Before the start of the parade, Vladimir Putin greeted the leaders of foreign states who arrived in Moscow to take part in the celebration. The parade began with the removal of the Russian flag and the banner of victory to Red Square. The parade was commanded by the commander-in-chief of the ground forces, General of the Army, Oleg Salyukov, and received by the Minister of Defense, General of the Army, Sergei Shoigu. As part of the foot column, 30 ceremonial calculations passed through Red Square. More than 8,000 military personnel, including 530 of the special military operation. The mechanized column was headed by the legendary Victory Tank T-34-85 armored vehicles, tactical missile systems, anti-aircraft missile system, mobile ground missiles for the first time. Musical accompanied by a combined military band. Speech by President of Russia, Vladimir Putin. Dear citizens of Russia, dear veterans, comrade soldiers and sailors, sergeants and foremen, midshipmen and ensigns, comrade officers, generals and admirals, fighters and commanders, our participants in a special military operation, I congratulate you on Victory Day. Happy holiday in honor of our fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers who glorified and immortalized their names, having defended the fatherland. At the cost of immeasurable courage and huge sacrifice, they saved humanity from Nazism. Today, civilization is once again at a decisive turning point. A real war has once again been unleashed against our motherland, but we have repulsed international terrorism. We will also protect the inhabitants of Donbass and ensure our security. For us, for Russia, there are no unfriendly, hostile peoples either in the West or in the East. Like the vast majority of people on the planet, we want to see a future of peace, freedom, and stability. We believe that any ideology of superiority is inherently disgusting, criminal, and deadly. However, the Western globalist elites still talk about their exclusivity, pit people in split society, provoke bloody conflicts and upheavals, sow hatred, Russophobia, aggressive nationalism, and destroy family, traditional values that make a person, and all in order to continue to dictate, to impose on the people their will, their rights, rules, and in fact a system of robbery, violence, and suppression. They seem to have forgotten what the insane claims of the Nazis for world domination led to. They forgot who defeated this monstrous total evil, who stood up as a wall for their native land and did not spare their lives for the sake of the liberation of the people of Europe. We see how, in a number of countries, memorials to Soviet soldiers are ruthlessly and cold-bloodedly destroyed. Monuments to great commanders are being demolished. A real cult of the Nazis and their accomplices is being created. The memory of true heroes is being erased and slandered. Such desecration of the feet and victims of the victorious generation is also a crime and an outright revanchism of those who cynically and openly prepared a new campaign against Russia and who gathered neo-Nazi scum from all over the world for this. Their goal, and there is nothing new here, is to achieve the collapse and destruction of our country, cross out the results of the Second World War, finally break the system of global security and international law, and strangle any sovereign centers of development. Exorbitant ambitions, arrogance, and permissiveness inevitably turn into tragedies. This is the reason for the catastrophe the Ukrainian people are now experiencing. He became a hostage of the coup d'etat and the criminal regime of his Western masters that had developed on its basis a bargaining chip in the implementation of their cruel, selfish plans. Russia and Russia, the memory of the defenders of the fatherland is sacred. We keep it in our hearts. We pay tribute to the members of the resistance who bravely fought against Nazism, to the soldiers of the Allied armies of the USA, Great Britain, and other states. We remember and honor the feat of the Chinese soldiers in the battle against Japanese militarism. I am convinced that the experience of solidarity and partnership during the years of fighting a common threat is our invaluable heritage. A strong support right now, when an irresistible movement, irreversible movement toward a more just multipolar world based on the principles of trust and indivisible security, equal opportunity for the original and free development of all countries and peoples, is gaining momentum. It is very important that the leaders of the countries of the Commonwealth of Independent States have gathered here in Moscow today. I see in this a grateful attitude to the feet of our ancestors. They fought together and won together. All the people of the USSR contributed to the common victory. We will always remember this. We bow our heads before the bright memory of all whose lives were taken by the war, before the memory of sons, daughters, fathers, mothers, grandfathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends. A moment of silence. Dear citizens of Russia, the battles that decide the fate of our motherland have always become domestic, popular, and sacred. We are faithful to the precepts of our ancestors, deeply and clearly understand what it means to be worthy of the height of their military labor and moral achievements. We are proud of the participants in the special military operation, everyone who fights on the front line, who provides a front under fire and rescues the wounded. There's no more important thing now than your combat work. The security of the country rests on you today. The future of our statehood and our people depends on you. You are honorably fulfilling your military duty fighting for Russia. Behind you are your families, children, friends. They are waiting for you. I am sure you feel their boundless love. The whole country rallied to support our hero. Everyone is ready to help. Pray for you, comrades, friends, dear veterans. Today, in each of our families, participants in the Great Patriotic War are honored. Their relatives, their heroes are remembered, and flowers are laid at military memorials. We are standing on Red Square, on the land that remembers the combatants of Yuri Dolgorukiy and Dmitry Donskoy, the militiamen of Minin and Pozharsky, the soldiers of Peter the Great and Kutuzov, the parades of 1941 and 1945. Today, participants in a special military operation here are regular servicemen and those who joined the ranks of the armed forces during partial mobilization. These are fighters from the Luhansk and Donetsk Corps, many volunteer combat formation employees of the National Guard, the Ministry of Internal Affairs, the FSB, the Ministry of Emergency Situations, and other special services and departments. Greetings, friends. I greet everyone who is fighting for Russia on the battlefield, who is now on a combat post. During the Great Patriotic War, our heroic ancestor proved that there was nothing stronger, more powerful, and more reliable than our unity. There is nothing in the world stronger than our love for the motherland. For Russia, for our valiant armed forces, for victory, hooray. John, your thoughts.
Sorry, I was getting just can't talk on the phone. I got some person calling me. I agree with that excellent speech. And in case people didn't know it, I support what Putin's doing. I know what's going on in the Ukraine. I have contacts in the Russian Federation. You may know some of them. Ed Snowden would be one of them. A friend of mine named Steven Seagal is another one. He's actually a diplomat, has dual citizenship. But I also have guests on occasion from the Russian Federation, along with a friend of mine, Nick Mancuso, who's in Paris, France. And we talk back and forth about what's going on. We are so misinformed and lied to in the United States. They even go to the extreme of having former generals like Keenan or whatever his name is to get up there and lie about stuff with regards to the logistical war. And yet Biden was the one that admitted being involved in the Nord Stream destruction. And recently the CIA, a former CIA official, came out and exposed Biden for actually authorizing the drone that attacked the buildings in Red Square to attack Putin, which apparently was snuffed out before it could do its job, or it was exploded before it got to its location. This is propaganda stuff that even the United States is doing. And it's just like when Khrushchev was in charge, you know, and they used to, you know, he used to bang his shoe on the table or at the podium when he was at the United Nations and so forth. You know, they said, well, we'll bury you and so forth back during Kennedy. And Kennedy and him got along fine. But it's from within. And we're having bonsai runs at the border. They're staging right now at the border so that they can rush the border, run in the thousands and thousands. And they've already got over 2,500,000 last count. I checked just in the last 72 hours that have been allowed to come in under the Biden administration, under DHS Secretary Mayorkas, who is a liar. And they'll go down there and act like nothing's happening. Everything is secure. That is a bold-faced lie. And I've got other Border Patrol people. I'm U.S. Customs. That was my background in that agency. And I know what's going on. I've known about documents that were at the White House when they were asking for extra help in 1974. That's how far back it goes, through the National Drug Control Policy Director's Office, that sort of thing. So people don't get it. They just think, oh, everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. And then we have all these shootings and Texas and things like that. But Putin is within his rights to do what he's doing. He has much more powerful weapons than what we're being lied to about in the United States. And yet Biden is taking tax slave money. I didn't say taxpayers. I said tax slaves to put trillions of dollars into that country as if it's a large ATM. And yet people like Zelensky has a $35 million home down in Florida somewhere, and has upwards of $11 million a month being paid. You know, so it's all a big ATM. It's all a big smoke screen to give the American public, tax slaves that they are, the impression that, oh, we have to pay more money into their system so that they can fight a war that doesn't involve us, but it does. It involves us criminally because of what Obama and all these Democrats were doing with the bioweapons labs underground, and the pedophile activity and the trafficking of children and homicide activity and pedophile homicides that occur in that country. I've seen the evidence. So these people are outrageously crazy. They want to start a world war. You know, so they're crazy enough to think that they could do it. But, you know, I mean, you're an ex-Marine, Jim. I mean, you have the background and the training. You know the military. I come from a military family. My dad was 30 years Navy. I've lived on military bases most of my young life before I was Secret Service, and I protected Presidents Ford and Carter. And I've Dick Cheney, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and a dozen other people at the White House itself. So, and I protected the Russian ambassadors, the Russian embassy, and I've dealt with people at the military attaché. But the ones I ran into were good people, you know. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add, there's so many ironies to this situation. I mean, Biden is going all out saying we'll be there as long as required to support the borders of Ukraine, a distant, corrupt land that has no national security interest of the United States, at least no legitimate national security. While he opens our borders, the effort, I'm convinced, is to bring in 100 million migrants. Remember, the population of the United States, now minus those who are dying from the vax, has been 330 million, roughly, 30 million of whom have been illegals. They want to jack that up by 100 million. They're wiping out the white race. They're wiping out the indigenous American citizens, the taxpayers. They're giving these people, these migrants, a free ride. They're giving them Social Security benefits, the equivalent. They're even putting them up in hotels, John. I mean, this is such a disgrace, and it's being done and of necessity by a guy who's a phony, a fraud, an actor wearing a latex mask, as we discovered in Ireland when he scratched the back of his neck and the rubber bubbled up. I've concluded Biden died in 2017. Even his granddaughter affirms that Joe died a long time ago, but the family wanted to keep it hand in because it had such a lengthy political tradition. So now you got someone with no conscience, no responsibility. This is a disposable presidency doing as much damage in as short as possible time to America. And I don't see how we are going to survive as a nation.
Yeah, and you're right. And I have to reach over and show this Social Security letter that I got recently. And it describes that I'm entitled to payments on one letter. And then the one I just got 2 days ago, literally 2 days ago, describes that I only have 15 credits after all those years of service. And you just hit it on the nail, again, the head on the nail, about the aliens coming across the border. Doesn't matter, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, you name it, from other countries. And they're getting upwards of $10,000, Social Security cards, and other benefits that they don't give even me as a natural born United States citizen. Now, I say that intentionally because...
John, hold that thought. We're taking a break. We'll be right back, and we'll look at the domestic calamity that occurred in New York yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
Right with John Carver.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So we got a fake president who was installed by a fake election, and now he's doing real damage, destroying America. All economists agree you cannot combine a welfare state with open borders. You'll overwhelm the system financially, and it will collapse. This is not a matter of speculation. This is a fact. And Biden, the fake Biden, has opened the borders, created a flood here, and as I say, they want to bring in 100 million to permanently change the demographics of America, and thus I regard us here today as mourning the death of America. John, you had further thoughts, please.
Yeah, it was along the same lines about what they were doing for illegals coming across the border. The Democrats specifically are addressing them very specially and giving them money. Social Security cards, they're not entitled to have a Social Security card unless they have a passport, they're working, they go through a special legalized system to get that only if they're working in the United States and they take out taxes and Social Security contributions. I've been paying taxes and contributions since I was about 13 and living on a military base in Japan when I got my first Social Security card in 1967, and yet Kamala Harris is not a black, she's a East Indian derivative born in Oakland. Her parents were not U.S. citizens at the time of her birth, therefore she's an anchor baby classification. She's not allowed to run for high office, just like Obama, who was born in Mombasa, Kenya. These people are terrorists, they're infiltrators, they've committed high treason, and people don't get that, and they just go for about 2 weeks, and then the attention span clouds over their brain, and they go back to work as a slave. That's the mentality of the United States right now. There are people in the know, like yourself, myself, and many others that worked in law enforcement or at the border or in the government and the military, and they're trying to kill off a certain amount of people, like with those stupid shots, even in the military. And pilots, although the White House staff was exempt, in case people didn't know that. Secret Service is exempt. If they're exempt, what do you think that Biden was getting in that shot that he took, like one or two shots, boosters, whatever? It's all distilled water, as far as I know. You know, but you know, you're right on target with this, Jim. People are witnessing the deterioration of the United States, and if they allow that stuff to go through. But yet, Speaker of the House McCarthy spoke in front of the West Wing after the meeting in the Oval Office with Biden and Chuck Schumer. And they're laughing. Chuck Schumer and Biden are laughing. They've got the secret. They know what's going on. It's all intentional to scare the people. And they put that pressure on everybody, which is immense. You see what I mean? They don't know what to do. They don't know about the Second Amendment. They're not constitutionalists. They don't know about the First Amendment, and they're losing that. So they've lost it. It's beyond the justice system. And as your next story that you're going to bring up is very indicative of what they're doing against Trump, because they're doing everything they can to distract people from the crime family of the Bidens to the Hunter Biden situation. And let me be clear, if they charge Hunter Biden with the laws that he's broken while Biden is president, Biden can give him a pardon, but so can Kamala Harris. That's the whole problem. They need to move those guys out of the office of the White House, and Speaker of the House would be the next person in line. That's the third person in line. Maybe things might change unless something else happens. See, they know the laws. They know the procedures. Most Americans were never taught that because they don't want you to know. By the way, Biden was sworn in as a senator when he was age 30. I just saw that on a pop-up like last night. But anyway.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's a disposable presidency. They need someone who would not be accountable, because no one of any conscience would participate in the destruction of America. They're going forward aggressively with great success. If anything in the past has distinguished the United States, the idea of equal justice under law has to be it. When they talk about all men being created equal, it's not meant that we're all the same height, weight, build, intelligence, capability, physically, mentally, morally. No, what it means is we're all of equal moral worth and are entitled to equal justice under the law, that the law should be applicable regardless of our height, weight, color of our skin, religious orientation, and the like. Now, what has distinguished banana republics from America has been the politicalization of the judicial and law enforcement system to prosecute political opponents. That we have reached that point of being no more than a banana republic was cemented yesterday when the jury in New York found Trump liable for sexual abuse, not rape, assessed $5 million in damages. Here's a bit of the background. A jury in New York found former President Trump liable for sexual abuse and battery of writer E. Jean Carroll 3 decades ago, though not liable for rape, and awarded $5 million in civil damages against him. They also found Trump defamed Ms. Carroll in his reaction to her lawsuit, which was encouraged by anti-Trump lawyer George Conway and backed by Democrat mega donor Reid Hoffman, an associate of the late convicted sex criminal Jeffrey Epstein. What could be more obvious that this is a politically motivated than it's financed by a Democrat mega donor? The jury reached its decision after a few hours of deliberation and a trial in which U.S. Judge Lewis Kaplan, a Bill Clinton appointee, allowed character evidence, including the infamous Access Hollywood tape, to be used. Trump decided not to testify in his own defense. Instead, a video of his deposition in the case was played, in which he said he did not recall Ms. Carroll, that he would not have been attracted to her or to her lawyer. Carroll had trouble recalling the date on which the alleged sexual abuse took place, even the year. But the judge, controversial, allowed other women to testify they had similar experiences with Trump. Typically, such evidence of character purporting to prove that a defendant committed a specific act based on an alleged propensity to commit similar acts is inadmissible, except in very few specific circumstances. Because the case was not a criminal case, the plaintiff's legal team was allowed to comment negatively on Trump's refusal to testify, and the jury was allowed to draw negative inferences from it. Former President Trump reacted on Truth Social, his media platform, saying, "I have absolutely no idea who this woman is. This verdict is a disgrace, a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time." Tara Reid, a former Capitol Hill staffer who accused President Biden of sexual assault during his days in the Senate in the early 1990s, was recently invited to testify before Congress about her claims. Trump is planning to appeal. John, there's no doubt this is going to be reversed on appeal. The whole thing's absurd. Allowing this access tabloid type of these other women, she doesn't even recall the year in which this occurred. Think about it, John. Well, is there a woman alive subjected to a rape who doesn't recall the year, the month, the week, the day, the hour, the minute it occurred? I mean, this is insulting. And just to make a crucial point, a friend of mine reminded me yesterday, how can Trump have an alibi if they can't specify the date and time and location at which this offense took place? It should never have been allowed to go to trial.
Exactly. Let me separate it for everybody out there, too, as a police officer. And I've taken police reports and I've done rape reports and so on and so forth. And there are procedures. In the Bill Cosby case, he was accused of a date rape situation or something that was 30 years old. It's the same procedure the Democrats are doing. The same thing was used in the Kavanaugh hearings when Senator Feinstein, a state senator in California, a Democrat who apparently is going back to work, apparently, they pulled up this lady. She testified against Kavanaugh. She didn't remember the details. She didn't know if it was him. She may have been drinking. I'm sorry, but if there was a rape, that's an assault, sexual assault. That's usually a felony. You call the police. You make a police report. If you didn't make a police report, end of story. That's it. They can't do anything. They're trying to come backwards and backpedal 30 years later to throw it out there. And some stupid judge who was appointed by a Clinton appointee situation is going to sit there and do whatever they want to slander and slam Trump. I don't care who Trump is. I voted for him. I've got my own criticisms, but I don't care who it is. If they didn't do the crime, that's the point. But yet they come back, even in the O.J. Simpson case. He was exonerated of a criminal case of murder. And yet they went back and sued him and won a civil case because the preponderance of evidence is different in a criminal case versus a civil case where you can say generally they think this happened and you can generally say they believed it. So therefore they give it to a jury who has no background. And I've never had to testify on a jury case because I'm law enforcement. They don't want me on a jury at all. I will get excluded no matter how hard I try. You know, because I know what's going on. But you see the difference. I mean, it's just so obvious what they're doing. And yet this person's allowed to lie, just like the squeaky voice lady on the Kavanaugh hearing. She lied. Dianne Feinstein didn't pursue it. You could lie before Congress and get away with it, and they don't do anything. Same thing in this case. If this person said they didn't know the information, why didn't they make a police report? That's procedure. See what I mean? It's obvious what they're doing. It's profiled towards a political assassination type procedure. Go ahead.
Well, we're supposed to have the equal application of the law to all citizens, regardless of status, orientation, wealth, what have you.
Yes.
Here, the judge abdicated his responsibility. In my opinion, he's unfit to serve. He ought to be disbarred and removed from office, impeached. To allow this case to go forward, John, was an insult. How can the man defend himself if we don't even know where and when this crime is supposed to have taken place. And the idea that she couldn't remember, in my opinion, debunks the whole affair. She is self-discrediting. If she can't remember, that's because it didn't happen. This is a fantasy. She just made this up, as those women who testified about Kavanaugh. That was so disgusting at the time. This equals it, sad to say.
It's criminal, and I want to emphasize that it's criminal what they do. Kaplan, this judge, is just as bad as the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting, where the prosecutors, Democrats, purposely use CGI, altered videos, they altered evidence, they cherry-picked evidence. That's illegal. All the judge do is berate them a little bit, and if I was judge, I'd say stop right there. The trial has been thrown out, and I would have those guys put under arrest, the prosecutors under arrest, and put in prison or jail temporarily pending another trial, and hit them with all kinds of contempt charges and put them in for a long time. Till the sun goes down, they'll never see the daylight of anything. The judge failed at doing that. It's the same thing. People always say this. The left wing will say, oh, well, you know, they can get fired, they can get dismissed, but they don't think about the criminal responsibility. They are committing criminal acts against the country, against the people that they've acted against, and those are criminal charges. I'm on to that. I arrest everybody that I had chances to arrest. I arrested law enforcement. I arrested doctors. I've arrested and detained diplomats because I know how to do it. These people don't like that. They don't want us to know that. Or they don't want people that are civilians to know, because there are responsibilities. So they're doing exactly that, Jim. It's crazy.
The Trump campaign issued the following statement. The Democrat Party's never-ending witch hunt of President Trump hit a new low today. In jurisdictions wholly controlled by the Democrat Party, our nation's justice system is now compromised by extremist left-wing politics. We have allowed false and totally made up claims from troubled individuals to interfere with our elections, doing great damage. Make no mistake, this entire bogus case is a political endeavor targeting President Trump because he is now an overwhelming front runner to once again be elected President of the United States. The continued abuse of our great Constitution for political ends is disgusting and cannot be tolerated. Our nation is in serious trouble when claims lacking any evidence or proof or eyewitnesses can invade our courts to score political points. Sadly, for the enemies of American freedom and democracy, President Trump will never stop fighting for the American people, no matter what the radical Democrat dream up next. This case will be appealed, and we will ultimately win. And, John, I have no doubt, but the point is the damage that occurred between now and the 2024, that's the whole idea, smear him, tarnish him for political purposes. They know it's bogus. They know it's fake. They do it anyway to score political points.
Well, even this guy, the prosecutor up in New York, Alvin, what's his name?
Braggs.
Say again?
Braggs.
Bragg, yeah. Mr. PHAT, Alvin Bragg, bragged about it, talked about it. I even sent it to other people when he was talking about it. He didn't care that the statute of limitations ran out on that. It was not a felony case at all. He didn't care about the fact that the thing was not even within the jurisdiction and the time frames. He did it anyway. Why isn't the Department of Justice, federal FBI, Attorney General's office arresting that guy right now? Trump did not have to go to New York, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now, when they served papers to try and do a service against the former president in Mar-a-Lago in Florida, the Secret Service has the authority to tell those people with badges from the judicial branch to go pound sand. Move your cars, get out of the way. You're blocking my view. Real simple. They're Secret Service. They have ultimate authority, executive branch, protect the president at all costs. And the FBI was committing a crime. They don't have the authority to serve papers. They have to go through a special process. That's what they're playing games with. Trump said, let them in anyway. If I was the duty agent on that shift, I would have said, no, sir, Mr. President, we're not going to let them in. If they came in, they could plant evidence and do damage security-wise. They could leave nanoparticles of a toxic poisonous substance behind. They could do all kinds of stuff. And people don't get that. Those people were violating his civil rights and national security issues on documents that were already classified and declassified by the president. He has the ultimate authority. But yet they're putting on this whole fiasco that they're trying to go after a bad guy or something. If I was there, Secret Service has the authority to open fire on those feds. Simple as that. They didn't have top secret clearances either, to my knowledge. So they have no authority to even look at a piece of paper that was declassified. But that's just a personal, professional opinion.
By the way, there are lots of attempts to apologize for this woman who looks to me to be a complete flake.
Oh, yeah.
We have the Daily Beast writing, E. Jean Carroll is not the perfect victim. That doesn't make her a liar. The columnist who accused Donald Trump of rape said on air that some people consider rape sexy. Cue conservative outrage. But mere awkwardness does not disprove her story. E. Jean Carroll, the advice columnist who accused Donald Trump of sexual assault, wrote in New York Magazine she'd not come forward with her allegations sooner because joining the 15 women who've come forward with credible stories only to see the man turn it around, deny, threaten, and attack them never sounded like much fun. So now, with the floodgate fully open, it's Carroll's turn to see just how repugnant things can get. The writer, who is 75, sat down with Anderson Cooper last night to recount allegations that the president raped her in a Bergdorf Goodman dressing room sometime between 1995 and 1996. Carroll told her story in a measured, sometimes humorous tone, but the facts remain unchanged from what was published on Friday. She refused to view what happened through the lens of hindsight. Even though her story ended with an attack, the columnist said it began as a New York moment, the best New York moment. Carroll, Ricard Bergdorf is posh and cozy. I just love it. Admitted she still visits and enjoys a landmark department store today, 25 years after it was a scene of an alleged crime. She spoke with a lilting, divergent tone of a lady who lunches, which caused more than one Twitter sleuth to wonder if the columnists were drunk on the air. But while Carroll may have been quick to laugh when describing the thought of getting Trump to try on some lingerie for himself, the fun stopped as soon as she began describing her rape. She detailed when Trump banged her head against a dressing room wall, putting her hand on the back of her head to touch a point of impact. Until then, the former Miss Cheerleader USA's posture had been impeccable, but now her head sagged and her shoulders slumped beneath a baby pink blazer. When recounting the merry lead-up to her attack, Carroll spoke in breathless, run-on sentences. But she got more to the point when reporting Trump's misconduct. It was against my will and it hurt, and it was a fight, Carroll bluntly summarized. You're saying there was actual penetration, Cooper attempted to clarify. Carroll silently nodded, wide-eyed, and offered a succinct yes. Carroll's raw, pained expression at that moment should be enough to convince anyone she is telling the truth. But unfortunately, a somewhat awkward exchange right before Cooper cut to commercial became a late-night snack to conservatives who launched onto the statement as evidence that Carroll's allegations are suspect. It happened when Cooper gently asked Carroll to describe the penetration that took place inside Bergdorf's, rightly calling the non-consensual action rape. Carroll countered, saying, I was not thrown on the ground and ravished, which the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual, it hurt, it just, as Carroll trailed off, Cooper offered. I think most people think of rape as being a violent assault. Then Carol handed Trump some ammo. I think most people think of rape as being sexy, she mused. Think of the fantasies. Q. Cooper, stammering and signaling a segment break. What could possibly inspire Carol's inopportune, uncomfortable tension on rape fantasies? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we can chalk it up to the stress, lack of sleep, general emotional mind screw that could come with accusing a sitting president of rape. Unsurprisingly, Donald Trump Jr. does not take as nuanced of a stance. The 41-year-old son reposted the segment with his own added commentary. Enough is enough with this bullshit. We all get it, media. You hate real Donald Trump, but giving every Avenatti-like wacko a platform because they'll say anything for press kills what little is left of your credibility. Let him do his job. The results speak for themselves. Here's Courtney Holland boasting, oh my God, this woman. You can tell that this is so awkward for Anderson Cooper watching till the end. She just keeps digging a deeper hole for herself. Here it is. Here is the segment.
Feel like a victim.
I was now thrown on the ground at Ravish, which the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual.
I think most people think of rape as a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break on Instagram. We'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Scott, I'm going to want your comments, but we're going to be hit with a break. You can start if you like, but I mean, this is bizarre.
There's no way that's a rape. She was not raped. They're using the word rape because that's the strongest term they could come up with. Would be no different than an accidental a brush across somebody's body as a sexual assault or some sort of an accidental touching or inappropriate touching or something.
Hold those thoughts, John. We'll be right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jim Fetzer here with John Carman, and we're talking about the absurd trial in New York, which indicates that in terms of the idea of America, of equal justice under law, we're dead on that count, too. So not only do we have no borders, we're flooding America with migrants. We are destroying the nation, its demographics, its culture, its traditions. It's outrageous and it's deliberate and it's happening before your very eyes. We have an equal abdication of law and procedure in New York City, join the complete politicalizations of the judicial system, which in the past has distinguished us from banana republics no more. John, let's do an instant replay of this little segment. Mm-hmm. Of this woman on with Anderson Cooper and your comments to follow.
I was now thrown on the ground and ravished. Which the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual. It hurt.
But I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm-hmm. We've got to take a quick break. Or if you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Why does she even say that? He's fascinating to talk to. This is just a stupid remark, John. Your thoughts?
Well, she's psychotic. For one thing, I was a police officer in the state of California, post-certified San Diego Police Department, et cetera, et cetera. I've taken reports on actual rapes. I've known victims and come across people before who've had the problem. The definition in the penal code of the state of California is any penetration, however slight, is part of the definition, by a part of the body or foreign object. So that means that technically if somebody had a foreign object that they could technically be classified as raping this person if they inserted it in orifice or body part of the body. This person has just admitted that it was not a rape. It was an assault of some sort. Would be no different than if you were on the train station in the subway in New York and you bumped into somebody, and they're going to scream rape because they just got bumped by mistake or got hit intentionally. Even in Japan, they have special pushers that will push people into a car to make sure they get as many people in that car as possible. And those people are always touching and bumping up against each other, even in Tokyo. So all of those people were rape victims, according to this woman who is psychotic. She's not a trained person. And if she was assaulted, then call it an assault. It's real simple. You can't call a rape when there was no rape. These people are idiotic, and they're trying to twist the terms to the most extreme. Well, and even Anderson Cooper couldn't get her to admit that she was penetrated. See what I mean?
Well, just think about the scenario she's laying out. This is Bergdorf Goodman. This is one of the most exclusive stores in New York City, if not in the world. She's claiming they were in the laundry department. There were no witnesses. No one heard. She didn't file any complaints. She doesn't even remember what year it is. This is colossally stupid, John. This is such an obvious sham. This is such a clear hoax.
Well,
this is
criminal.
Just an insult that anyone would take this seriously.
Yeah, it's criminal. To falsely accuse somebody of a criminal act is a crime in and of itself. So if you file a false police report and they find out that you lied, you could serve time in prison, folks. People don't get that. They think, oh, it's okay, everybody lies. No, there is a crime committed. So she has committed a crime no different than Stormy Daniels, who made an allegation where the attorney Cohn was involved. He was making payments of some sort and allegedly took some money and paid her some money. She admitted that she never had contact or sexual contact with Trump either, in a legal sense. So that's another case. But this person is obviously psychotic, in my opinion. And if there was no penetration, there may have been an assault. Where's the proof? Show us the proof. If it was a misdemeanor, you have to have witnesses. If it was a felony, anybody can arrest on a felony, but there was no assault, sexual assault, and she's trying to twist it around. This is what these Democrats do. They're claiming they were sexually assaulted. She dreamt it up in a dream. That's what's going on. These people are using lies to the extreme. It's okay for them to lie because it's like if you're a Muslim in the extreme sense and you're not a Muslim, they can lie to you. It's permitted to lie to you. It's called taqiyya. So that's just one example of another cult or culture that allows them to lie about something. And she's fitting a similar category.
Here's more about the case prior to the actual trial. A former columnist suing Donald Trump over an alleged rape nearly 30 years ago testified she launched the case to try and get my life back. E. Jean Carroll told the New York civil rape and defamation trial she'd been unable to have a romantic life since the alleged assault. Ms. Carroll claimed Trump accosted her in a Manhattan department store in 1996. He has consistently denied her accusations as fiction. I'm here because Donald Trump raped me, and when I wrote about it, he lied and said it didn't happen, Ms. Carroll told the Manhattan federal court on Wednesday. He lied and shattered my reputation. I'm here to try and get my life back. Ms. Carroll, a former advice columnist for Elle magazine, testified the encounter with Mr. Trump initially began with flirtatious banter after he approached her at the Bergdorf Goodman store and asked her to help him buy a gift for a friend. She said the banter quickly took a turn when Mr. Trump asked her to try on a piece of lingerie and followed her into a dressing room. Once inside, she claimed, he closed the door, held her up against the wall, and raped her. As I'm sitting here today, I can still feel it, she told the court. She tried to push Mr. Trump off, saying it was clear she didn't want it to happen. The extremely painful encounter was over within minutes, she said, and she quickly left the department store. In the years since, she has felt guilty about her decision to enter the dressing room, Ms. Carroll said on Wednesday. She told two friends about the attack, who gave conflicting advice about whether she should go public with her story. In his questioning, Ms. Carroll's lawyer seemed to anticipate questions she may face from Mr. Trump's team including whether she was motivated to sue the former president for political reasons. Ms. Carroll, who has voted only for Democrats, said she was not. Mr. Trump has repeatedly denied her allegation Wednesday. In a series of posts, he called the account a fraudulent and false story. She didn't scream? There are no witnesses? Nobody saw this, he wrote. Mr. Trump's post was brought to the attention of the district judge, Lewis Kaplan, before witnesses took the stand. The judge admonished Trump's legal team for their client's behavior and said the post was a public statement that, on the face of it, seems entirely inappropriate. Mr. Trump's lawyer, Joe Tapachino, told the judge he'd ask his client to refrain from any further posts on this case. As of Wednesday, it was not immediately clear if the former president planned to appear in court in the case, which is expected to last for 2 weeks. Here we have a bit about this woman here. That she was born in 1943, so she's like 80 years old. American journalist, author, advice columnist for Ellie magazine. Oldest of four children. She was raised in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with two sisters and a brother. Attended Indiana University, as did I, for my PhD. A Phi Beta Kappa and a cheerleader. She was crowned Miss Indiana University in 1963. And in 64, as a representative of the university, she won the Miss Cheerleader USA title. Here's more now about her. She's made other allegations. Carroll was one of 13 women who accused CBS Corporation executive Les Moonves of sexual assault in 2019. She has had the incident that occurred in the late 1990s in a hotel elevator. After interviewing Moonves for a story, he denied the allegation in an elevator. I mean, this is as bad as the department store lingerie. Trump. She published an article in New York Magazine on June 21st, 2019, stating Trump had sexually assaulted her and so forth. She initially chose not to describe the alleged sexual assault as rape, instead describing it as a fight. My word is fight. My word is not the victim word. There's more about it I want to follow, but first, your opportunity, John, to comment on those further reflections.
Yeah, I was just making some notes to you. The Stormy Daniels case, of course, was just a botched-up allegation and corruption by the attorney guy. I'm asking the same basic questions. You already stated it's a high-end store. Where are the security cameras? Where's the evidence that they were even in the same building? Why not a police report? If you did get raped, there's DNA transfer, bodily fluids, hair samples. Even in the Monica Lewinsky case, she kept a dress at the suggestion of Linda Tripp to save it because it could be important. That's DNA right there. Where's the DNA? Where's the hair transfer? Bodily fluids, any other type of evidence? Was there violence? Were there bruising, scratches, or something of the victim? Nothing. Nothing. And I've done reports like this. Where's the medical report where you go to a doctor, they do a rape kit, a special doctor specially trained does a special rape kit where they take samples and semen, blood, urine, saliva, all kinds of stuff. Depending on what type of activity on an actual assault, nothing. They have nothing. It's obviously it's a political assassination attempt against Trump. I don't care who the guy is. I'll defend him. If he's right, he's right. And yet people are saying, oh, you know, it's political this, political that. I'm sick and tired of it. You know, when I took an oath and I wore the badge, it was to uphold the Constitution, preserve, protect, defend, and all that. And it didn't matter what you were, you know what I mean? And yet these people are openly doing this. This country has a multi-tiered justice system, and nobody's taking action. That's what bothers me. And people should be outraged at this. Go ahead.
Now, the Trump lawyers, of course, say he's going to appeal, and of course, it's going to be overturned. I mean, this is just outrageous. The verdict will not result in jail time because it's a civil case. The jury found he should pay $5 million damages, including three for defamation and two for the civil battery. The judge, a Clinton appointee, announced a verdict after the nine-member jury deliberated for less than 3 hours. Less than 3 hours. It concluded a one-week-long civil trial where Carol, 79, claimed Trump, 76, raped her in a dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman in Manhattan in 1994 or 1996, committing a battery offense and his denial of the incident committed libel, a type of defamation. How can it be a libel if he says it didn't happen when there's no proof it did happen, John? I mean, it's just insulting.
Yeah, I'm shocked and abhorred at the fact that this case saw the light of day in a courtroom. They're committing high treason. They're committing all kinds of treasonous type activities against a former president. They're obviously attacking him to no end. You know, it's crazy. If they took a regular citizen and did the same things, they're under the same restrictions. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't make it. They'd throw it out. The prosecutor would lose his career if he tried to bring a case of that sort to court. And I've seen similar cases by other prosecuting attorneys, even in California, which is, enemy territory, you know.
Now, he denied he raped her, which was her charge.
Right.
And yet they found he didn't rape her. They didn't find him guilty of rape.
That's
and yet
it.
How can he be guilty of defamation for denying that he raped her when the jury itself cannot find that he raped her? John, I mean, this is absurd.
If they charge you with one crime and there's no evidence of that crime, end of story, case dismissed. With prejudice, which means Donald J. Trump could sue her for defamation of character and slander and all these other things. But yet they're allowing this thing to go through anyway. It's outrageous. So if the standard is still the same, well, maybe it wasn't rape. Maybe it was a simple assault. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. Where's the evidence? There's no evidence. I'd throw it out just on that purpose alone. Show me the police report. Show me the bruises. Show me the evidence. Show me the bodily fluids. Show me something that they could show a jury. The jury is rigged. The judge is rigged. The prosecutor.
Well,
same thing.
Manhattan, it was all, you know, stacked against Trump, no question. Jurors were tasked with deciding whether Trump raped, sexually abused, or forcibly touched Carol, any one of which would satisfy her claim of battery. They found Carol did not prove Trump raped her, but instead found Trump sexually abused her. They also found Trump defamed Carol. At the time of the alleged offense, she did not report the incident to authorities for fear of backlash from Trump and his supporters. This is how they're writing it. I mean, that's her allegation. Mm-hmm. Carol said during the trial. Todd McKenna, Trump's attorney, however, said during closing arguments, the reason she didn't call police was the allegation would never make it through a police investigation in a million years. Carol's lawsuit traces it back to 2019 when the writer accused then-President Trump of sexually assaulting her in the mid-1990s. After Trump denied Carol's allegations in 2019, saying she's not my type, Carol filed a lawsuit accusing Trump of defaming her in the same year, citing those words. That lawsuit bounced around state, federal, and appellate courts in New York and Washington, D.C. without material consequences. I mean, this is just silly beyond words. And in 2022... the New York State legislature passed the Adult Survivor Act, amending state law to give victims of certain sexual offenses a one-year window, beginning on November 24, 2023, to file a civil lawsuit against alleged offenders. She filed a second lawsuit that very day, November 24, 2022, under this act, which went to trial and resulted in Tuesday's verdict. Trump, until now, has denied all of Carol's allegations. I have absolutely no idea who this woman is. This verdict is a disgrace, a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time, he wrote on Truth Social after the verdict. John, your thoughts.
Well, another thing is, since the alleged crime or the alleged assault happened over 20 years ago, and it was like 27 years ago, it doesn't matter what they came up with recently to change the law and say, oh, we're going to give you another year window. No, they can't do that. It's already expired plus 20 plus years ago. So they're playing games with this to introduce that case alone. And it's like, you might as well line everybody up and make charges. It can't be done. A simple police report would have been simply done. And if they went to a police station, they would have been refused. If you went to a police station, or if this woman did right now and said, I want to report an assault or a sexual assault or even a rape term, which is BS. The officer or the desk sergeant is going to say, when did it happen? What time did it happen and where? And as soon as she says over 25 years ago, the sergeant's going to say, get the hell out of my station. You can't go back 25 years and say something else. Then he might ask, where's the evidence? Well, I don't have any. When did it happen? Well, I can't remember. What location? Well, it was at a store. Were there security pictures, security cameras? 20 years ago, it's gone. There's no case. Again, the sergeant is going to throw it out. Get out of my station. Go somewhere else. It ain't going to happen.
Key question, credibility. A central question in the case is whether her claim that Trump had sexually assaulted her were credible. She testified during the trial. Carol's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, same last name but unrelated to the judge, said Carol's testimony during the trial was credible, that every single aspect of what she said had backed up or corroborated by other evidence. John, that's just incredible the attorney would say that.
Other evidence. Where is it?
The testimony by two other women at trial who also alleged Trump sexually assaulted them established a pattern of misconduct, Roberta Kaplan said.
Have you ever heard that phrase, if you lie to it, I'll swear to it? Does that sound appropriate?
These other cases should never have been allowed. I mean, and the fact that she cannot tell you when and where it happened deprives him of the right to a defense, which means this was not credible in the first place. On procedural grounds alone, could not properly have been allowed to go forward. Topekina disagreed. He said Carol could not recall key details, making her story unbelievable. Now she claims she didn't say the day of the week because she wasn't 100% certain. She tailored her testimony right in front of you, right in front of you, he said during closing argument. We know reality from fiction. A key moment was when a video of Trump deposition was played. When the former president was asked about the Access Hollywood tape that featured his word, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Carol's attorney argued during the trial these women showed Trump's attitude towards sexually assaulting women. What is Donald Trump doing here? Telling you in his very own words how he treats women. It's his modus operandi, his M.O. But Topekina disagreed, saying Trump's word don't play into Carol's credibility or the case's merit. It's crude. It's rude. I knock my boy's teeth out if he talked like that, honestly, but that doesn't make Miss Carol's unbelievable story believable. During the closing argument, Topekina doubled down that it was motivated by political reasons. What E. Jean Carroll has done here is an affront to justice. She's abused the system by bringing a false claim for, among other things, money, status, political reasons. Legal experts weigh in. Alan Dershowitz, a professor who taught at Harvard for 50 years, said he believes Carol's case fails based on procedural considerations alone. These cases never should have been allowed to be brought, Dershowitz said, referring to the two cases Carol brought against Trump. The historical purpose of a statute of limitation to make sure you don't have to stand trial for something that occurred 25 years ago in this case, even more than that. How do you remember things? How do you know where you were? Maybe he was in Europe at the time. She hasn't even given the dates and times of the year. It's a case that normally would be thrown out. But again, it's Donald Trump.
I'm so glad that you quoted Alan Dershowitz, because I know Alan Dershowitz with the Innocence Project, and I've contacted him over the years because I've always admired him as a law professor, and I was looking for attorneys like Jerry Spence and all these other famous attorneys. I just sent him an email yesterday asking him the same comment, and you just answered my question. See, that's perfect, because I'm on the right track. What's interesting is that some people don't realize that the comment by somebody making a statement saying, oh, that person's not even my type, that's a weak comment. But still, yeah. It's like, no, I would just say flat out, never happened. I don't know that person. End of story. Don't make other comments, because they can be right. Taken out of context. Like, oh, that person's not even my type. Well, that's great. But a famous guy named Roy Cohn, who was an attorney, was pictured with Donald Trump many years ago. And Cohn was quoted as saying he's not gay because he likes to have anal sex with men. Okay. I get that. He's not gay, but he likes to have anal sex with men. Okay. All right. But these people are very unusual in their characters and the comments that they make. You know, but you have to understand the quirkishness of it, I guess.
Well, look, as Dershowitz observes, and I've been emphasizing, she hasn't even given the date and the time. She doesn't tell us. She tells us where it happened. She doesn't tell us when it happened. Who knows where the hell Donald Trump was when it allegedly happened, which he won't specify, which means it's impossible to defend himself, which means the case has no legal merit and cannot be brought because he's incapable of defending himself against it were it brought.
That's one of the first questions an investigator will ask, a police investigator. Where were you on or about the date and time that this alleged incident occurred? And then you have to say, I don't know. What was the alleged date and time? Well, we don't know that either. Well, then there you go. Quit bothering me. Hang up, click, or get up and walk away. That lady probably dreamt it up no different than the woman that was in the Kavanaugh hearing. And she dreamt it up, too. And yet Congress isn't doing a damn thing about it. Neither is Dianne Feinstein, who is a high-rated, corrupt, treasonous individual. My personal professional opinion.
We're here with John Carman, and we'll take your calls after the break. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Dershowitz adds he believes that the Carroll case, along with other legal challenges Trump is facing, are bolstering his prospects in the primary, but will hurt the former president when he goes against a Democrat nominee in the general. I think that independent voters will look at some of these charges and say, gee, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. But of course, where there's smoke, sometimes there's arson. And I think a lot of these fires have been set politically in order to get Trump, Dershowitz said, echoing the name of his book, Get Trump, in which he argued that Trump political enemies have been targeting Trump in a politically motivated campaign, no doubt about it. Here's a recent online poll, John. The numbers have changed, but I'm sure the percentages have remained about the same. Is Trump innocent? Is a guilty verdict a witch hunt? Yes, he is innocent. 97%. No, yep. He's guilty. 3. John, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, it's outrageous. I mean, I'm glad that you're backing it up with Alan Dershowitz, because he's 99.99% correct most of the time. So I've only seen one variance of an opinion about something, but that was related to the COVID shots being constitutionally protected, that you don't have to or not. But that's a different discussion altogether. But yeah, all the indicators are there. But the problem is, this case should have never seen the light of a courtroom, period. Yet they're wasting taxpayers' dollars. I'm sorry, tax slaves, folks, and allowing people to come into the country while you're looking over there at the Trump case and looking over there at some other thing that's going on. They're stealing money, putting it in their pockets, in their Cayman Island offshore accounts, Swiss bank accounts, in violation of the secrecy acts and all kinds of things, because that's what they do. You know, they claim they gave trillions of dollars to Zelensky for the war in Ukraine. Those are lies. They're putting money in their own banks. See what I mean? So it's all related. It's all a decoy. It's a diversion, you know. Look over there, the grassy knoll, when the shooter was down inside the storm drain. You know, Jack Lawrence. A lot of people, they don't get that, you know. And I've been doing this stuff for years, explaining these things, and they're still oblivious. But that's what they want. They want you to be dumbed down, and then that way they can lie to you. And, you know, how many times have you heard Jean-Pierre or Mayorkas begin their sentences with "so"? It's a constant thing. It's a prefix. It's like, so I'm about to tell you a story. Here's the fairy tale. See? So it's just obvious patterns that you have to notice. But maybe we'll get a caller maybe we'll get an interesting question here, but I think it's obvious what
John, sometimes the audience is so absorbed by what we are discussing that they prefer to listen rather than to call. We can go way back to earlier aspects of this case or even all the way back to the border and ask ourselves, what in the hell is going on here? I mean, how can the Democrats destroy the country? I mean, unless they have just sold out hook, line, and sinker. And, John, they have sold out hook, line, and sinker, so far as I can tell.
Well, they've been doing it for years, and you brought up an important point. And there's something I know about that most people don't know, is that a foreign entity, like a foreign government, let's pick on the Mexican cartels, cannot own over 49% of a controlling interest in an American property or a business like a bank in McAllen, Texas, and put 51% controlling interest, which means they could do what they want with the money that they're money laundering, because everything is based on money laundering. That's what they do. That's what the Biden administration is doing. That's what the Democrats do all the time. They're shifting the monies illegally, and they're selling parts of the United States to the outside interests, like China. Literally, there are more Chinese people in the United States that are influencing purchases of property and businesses. At one point, they even had Chinese police in certain parts of the country in kiosks where they were telling Chinese nationals to go back to their country, and they can't do that. They can't operate here under that type of a status, no matter what people think. They have to have special passports. They have to have diplomatic passports if they were even here, let alone a visa of some sort to even work or visit here. They violate these laws. The immigration is under the Department of Justice, under the Department of Homeland Security, all the way up to the President of the United States, who is allowing this stuff to happen. We're under invasion right now, folks. Forget about the Constitution. Go to the Second Amendment. When the First Amendment is not working, you default to the Second Amendment. If the Third, Fourth, Fifth, or other amendments don't work, you default back to the Second Amendment. Take the rest of the Constitution and wipe it out, except for the Second Amendment. That's all that is maintaining what we've got left. And if you don't understand that, you need to go back to school. Hopefully the rest of the patriots that are listening to this understand what the Second Amendment is all about. I always quote this from Thomas Jefferson, who was also an Aries born on the 13th of April. The tree of freedom has to be paid with the blood of tyrants and patriots from time to time, as it is its natural manure, unquote.
Must be
nourished.
I don't
like the part about patriots having to do it, but yeah, sometimes we have to sacrifice. But do you understand the precedent?
I don't know if the country has the balls to do it, John. Honest to God, I just don't have confidence that we're equal to the task, which means we're destined to live as slaves and serfs in perpetuity.
Yeah, no, I understand it perfectly. I was going to say that what they're establishing is a precedent. That means that if they can do that to Trump, then they could go back and charge Obama, Bush, Clinton, and the guy in office right now with all these things, anything. They can go back and charge him. Why haven't they been arrested yet? See what I mean? I ask that every day that I go to sleep and every morning when I get up, why haven't they made those arrests? Because we're not in control. Wake up. Everybody needs to wake up, you know, and people don't get it. And I get the same response from people who still wear masks, standing in line somewhere. Well, what are we going to do? I said, well, first off, if you're a male, you need to grow some testosterone. If you're female, estrogen, and you need to fight back. They don't know how to fight. That's what they've done. Yeah. They've raised generations of a bunch of wussy people.
I think Nixon made a calamitously bad decision when he abandoned the draft back and take the wind out of the sails of the anti-Vietnam War movement, because it detached American families from decisions of war and peace, so that the exec could go ahead and do whatever, and families wouldn't care because they knew their sons and daughters weren't involved. They need to have sons and daughters involved. The sons and daughters need the discipline, the training, military experience gives them, John. You got a bunch of people who've never been disciplined, who've never handled any responsibility whatsoever. We got a generation of ne'er-do-wells who want everything given to them. It culminates in the absurdity of California contemplating $200 million in reparation for every black in California, even though California was never a slave state. That just exemplifies the insanity that dominates the Democrat Party today.
Exactly. And I come from a military family. I was in scouts. I was in Civil Air Patrol. I've been in boot camps and stuff at Edwards Air Force Base. I lived at China Lake. That's a top secret military base. I've been to all kinds of places that people wouldn't believe. But the standards are still there, and it's true. Maybe they need to make people, Americans, serve 2 years like other countries do. Get your time in, serve your country, be trained, learn discipline, learn how to use firearms and so forth. But apparently they don't want it to go that direction. And it's just going all other directions except in the right direction. They need to get these people out that are there. I was 1A classification in 1971 when I registered for the draft, which is required when you turn 18. Then I was 1A, then I was back reverted to 1S as a student because I was in college by that time after that. And then when I joined the Secret Service, I was still 1A. So I was exempt at some point, but that was in 74. Nixon left in August 9th, 74. So I'm not sure when he declassified the draft because we were still in Vietnam around April, May, or June of 1975, and I was actually protecting the embassy of Vietnam in the circle over there near DuPont or Sheridan Circle in D.C. with the Venezuelan embassy across the street, the Egyptian embassy, and then the Vietnamese embassy. By that time, they had left Saigon, and all those diplomats left, leaving burnt documents and a cipher machine in the backyard of their embassy, which is kind of interesting history. But, there's a lot of stuff that was going on with that, with Nixon and so forth, because even he did away with the gold standard as well, and Trump was supposed to put us back on the gold standard. Isn't that interesting? And then I worked at the U.S. Mint for a year, 10 months basically, up at San Francisco, protected the gold, 1,065 pounds of gold in particular. And I discovered a gold smuggling ring where they were smuggling out the gold coins. So if you ordered a gold coin, somebody who worked in that department would keister it somewhere or hide it and get out. And then I did an investigation, ended up shutting down the gold, the U.S. Mint at the 88th Fifth Street in San Francisco, right off Market Street. Now it's a bed and breakfast museum thing, something. It's weird. And then Fort Knox was shut down for a while. Now, all of a sudden, they're asking for more police officers at the U.S. Mint level, which is under U.S. Treasury, you know, which I could easily qualify. But they're manipulating the gold. And then after that, of course, 9/11, Federal Reserve, Building 7 gets shut down. You see what I mean? There's all these patterns. The Democrats are deep involved in terrorism domestically, and they still haven't been arrested. Trump, if I was under Trump, under a special category, I would have been arresting over 300,000 people in the United States. And some people would criticize, saying, we don't have enough people. Oh, yes, we do. Not counting those 85,000 people in the IRS that they tried to get in. Military.
They've gone back to that, John, and they're still saying you got to be willing to use lethal force against American citizens.
Right. And that's a NATO communist infiltration type of a thing. When they were going to do that, they would ask U.S. police officers nationally, if it came down to it, would they be willing to go door to door, confiscate guns, and if that necessary, to shoot an American and use lethal force. And a lot of people will just turn in their badges and walk away from it. They'll give up their career. And that's a real heavy thing to do. You know, I walked away from a career because of death threats. And I tried to protect my family, even though I was right, and I didn't get backed up by internal affairs. And those guys came back later saying I was 100% correct in what I did and what I reported. So it's going to come to that. That's why people have to realize, you may not see it right away, But when you start seeing checkpoints and you're not carrying a gun and you're not in a state where you have open carry, Arizona, Texas, and various other states, then you're in trouble already. You know, you're going to lose. You're going to die. Just pick the time and when. And they want you to die. Democrats are trying to kill off five, well, I should say higher up, Khazarian Jews, the Committee of 300, and there's another group of over 2,000 rich people on the planet. They want to kill 5 to 7 billion humans on the planet so they can rule the rest of the world. They're willing to do that.
I agree with that assessment, John. I agree with that 100%. Just to return to that theme I introduced at the beginning of our conversation, America is dead. I'm talking not in the sense of the king is dead, long live the king. That's right. The old king is dead, long live the new king.
Right.
I'm saying America is dead. It's a dead duck. It's gone. And if you have no borders and you have no law, you're a non-existent entity. We have forfeited everything for which this once great nation has stood. And I cannot think of a more stunning illustration than a Donald Trump case, which should never have been brought before the jury, or the massive flood of migrants to change the composition of America forever, which is taking place before our very eyes. No one should be in denial anymore. America is dead.
Yes. I mean, I've had confirmation from other officials that worked at the border where they've actually confirmed that about 125 miles, basically, in one section. And even to go back when Duncan Hunter Sr., the congressman in San Diego, covered a certain area in Imperial County, San Diego County, all the way into the areas over past El Centro and Calexico, where I actually worked at the border there, too, to look at the border fence. The border fence is a joke. Chapo Guzman has paid millions of dollars to Democrats like Dianne Feinstein, Maxine Waters, you name it. Any Democrat along the border has been paid by Chapo Guzman, and it can be proven that's why he's in prison. They don't want the word to get out. He's worth $250 billion with a B. Baker. Donald Trump, to pick on his value, is worth about $5 billion. That's a lot of money. I could live on $1 billion. I could live on a lot less. But the problem is people don't understand the standards with this stuff. But if you work with the Democrats and you're paying them money to keep the border open, they had an area that was 125, 126 miles unchecked. Nobody's there. It's obviously a wasted security system. Where are the feds? If you look at HIDA, they've got a special map, and I should pull it up to post it. I don't know if you'd be able to get it in time. But they show the whole border area from San Diego along the border down to Texas to Brownsville is a corridor. It's a drug smuggling corridor. It's 25 miles deep, which means from 25 miles north of the Mexican border into the United States is a special drug corridor. If you're in that corridor, you're at risk. The corridor has extended all the way around the border of the United States from the Canadian border along the western seaboard, from San Diego to Brownsville, from Brownsville all the way up to Florida, to the eastern seaboard, up to Canada, and the Canadian border is a drug corridor and a risky area, specifically marked. Where is the military? They're talking about arming the people down at the border, at the southern border, by Governor Abbott from Texas, and there's something called a Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, 1848. So if you put armed American troops at the border, it's supposed to be enacting an act of war against Mexico. Well, have at it. We're at war. We've got infiltration by Mexican cartels. The Congress is committing high treason. Again, I keep telling people this, and they don't get it. There's over 125 incursions across the border every year. You ask a congressman about it, and they'll turn and walk the other way. They don't want you to know that they know that. Congressmen and congresspersons are committing treason when they don't expose it, they don't talk about it, and they don't take action. there's probably a handful of congressmen or senators that I would put any credibility on, but yet nothing's happening. Where are the arrests? They can only refer to the Department of Justice or the OIG. Nobody knows what that is. The Office of the Inspector General is like the internal affairs of each agency at the federal level. Nobody's doing anything. Marjorie Taylor Greene came to the border. I reached out to her just as an example. No response. And yet she's talking about impeaching Biden. And yet no arrests. When you contact a congressman's office outside your area, all they want to know is what zip code you live in. This is going back to the old feudal system, the barons, the land barons. If you live in their area, you're the slave to that land baron. Those are congressmen, and they're in charge of you. And if you go outside that area, you're in violation. So it's already being shut down piece by piece by piece. They're dissecting every area according to zip code, county, and state by Democrats. And they don't care. They've got their money. The most they look as a penalty at would be termination. They quit their job. They retire. Look at Pelosi. Look at Dianne Feinstein. These are dinosaurs that should have been removed years ago. And yet they're still walking around. Chuck Schumer, people like that. You know, I've seen that guy committing all kinds of pedophile activity on a child. Why aren't they doing something about those guys? You know, we've got affidavits before Congress and certain people. Nothing's being done. If you arrest Duncan Hunter, Biden will pardon him. That's the problem. But the procedures are all ass backwards. You know what I mean? So it's just unbelievable. Comment?
Doesn't it require you actually have to be convicted of a crime and you have to give a recounting and express remorse to deserve a warrant of pardon? John, am I wrong about that?
Yeah, no, you're correct. You're very accurate about that. And I'm glad you said that, because as I said, well, but there are exceptions to the rule. Joe Arpaio, former DEA agent, sheriff of Maricopa County, got a contempt of court order against him by a judge because he refused to let the illegals go. He knows what the problem was. They were losing their classifications as immigration to detain illegals in their county jails. So the judge was going to hit him up with a contempt order. And Trump stepped right in and gave him a pardon immediately. If he has the ability to do that, just like he does at that time as a president, he can do that. You don't have to wait for the conviction. So there are minor exceptions to the rule. Usually if you go for a conviction, and I've helped Abraham Bolden, who was the first black Secret Service agent, to get his pardon, you have to serve the time. Then you have to get out, you have to appeal it or do whatever, and they have to wait 5 years before you can apply for a pardon under the president. And in some cases, they will ask you to act as if you committed the crime and ask for remorse, blah, blah, blah. If you didn't do the crime, you could tell them to go pound sand. I'm in a similar situation. They can come back and say, if you agree to do this, this is what they do. The Democrats will extort you, which is illegal, and they'll do everything they can to make you admit to a crime, even if it's an infraction of the law, just so they get credit for it. They're extorting you. What they're doing is criminal. They can't do that. If you didn't do the crime, you don't do the time, and you don't have to get a pardon, but under the law, you have to get it to exonerate yourself. Because the system's too corrupt. The Ninth Federal Circuit is too corrupt. Even Trump knows that. And I've emailed him with the same type of information about illegal activity at the border. He knows it's corrupt. He stated it is too. But yet, they allowed those people to stay in office. See what I mean? Logistically, yeah. He could have made a lot of arrests and done this before he left office. And if he knew that the Dominion servers were illegal, and they are, what makes you think you can vote again? It's redundantly stupid. Yeah. New election. Vote again. Why? The last one was rigged. Those people committed felonies.
What makes you think you can vote again and have any different outcome if they're using the same apparatus used to steal the last election? They're going to use it again to steal the next.
And they've been doing it in foreign countries through the CIA.
Yes.
That's what they do. They get their puppets in. They get who they want. They've been doing it for years. And finally, we've figured out over the years that it's been happening here in the United States. Wake up, folks. They're committing high treason. The penalty for high treason, 18 U.S.C. 2381, look it up, 2381, 83, 84, sedition and so forth, is a death penalty. Wake up. It needs to happen. You know, and if they don't have the huevos to do it, I know a few people that will.
It's just been wonderful having you here today for these stories, because you have so much background related to each of them. I'm simply delighted how this has played out.
Yes, a lot of people don't get that, and you know where I mean. We've been on other shows before, and other people don't get it. You know, they don't have the background. They don't really listen. And sometimes you get involved in one of those revolving doors where you've only got so much time, you do the best you can, and then you move on. But people are so asleep, you know, they need to wake up. And this is the perfect show to do it. I've been on before with Scott Bennett a couple of times, and I got my feathers wet, you know, on this program. And, of course, with you, thank God for Mitchell, you know, because this is an excellent show, because we need to get the truth out. And I see we're getting a one-minute warning, so we got about a minute left.
We're doing what we can, John. I only wish the public were capable of rising to the occasion. My fear is Americans are just so pacified now, so addicted to television and their cell phones, which the whole digital environment is having a tremendous impact on social interaction among people, depersonalization, detachment from concerns about the common welfare and well-being, as though everything's going to take care of itself. I think the prospects for the future of the nation are dismal. I mean, they're not just dim, they're actually dismal.
Yeah.
Which is why I say, sad to say, I mean, I'm not happy about it. America is dead. I can't thank you enough, John, for coming on today. Sure. I want to encourage everyone out there to spend as much time as they can with their family, their friends, and people they care about and love. You can at least benefit from those associations. Take advantage of every minute. Back Friday. See you then.
Good. Okay.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global